You are listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. This podcast is for any creative that wants to make more money and a bigger impact doing what you love. Let's get into it. Hey, I want to ask you a question. Do you think about your personal brand a lot? A lot of the times in this day and age, we sometimes blur the lines. We don't understand where our personal brand stands, how that works in our businesses, and if we should dive in deeper and lean into that personal brand. So today I brought on a special guest named Nathan Chansky. He is the host of the Passion with Purpose podcast, and he loves to talk about personal branding. He's also going to be a speaker at the Unrealistic Workshop that's coming up very soon in Los Angeles, which I'm really excited about. Now, in this episode, we dive into how to identify your personal brand. Do you even have a personal brand? And how do people view your personal brand? We also talk about authenticity, how that looks, and how we don't have to always be exactly our true selves. And sometimes we can be the people that we want to be. And it's one of the reasons why you're probably listening to this podcast, and we do so much self-development because we love who we are, but we're always trying to step into the new version of ourselves and be the best version of ourselves. And that is one of the most important things. So if you do want to find out more about Nat, you can head over to his podcast, which is Passion with a Purpose. But the main reason I wanted to get him on the show today is because he is one of the keynote speakers at the Unrealistic Workshop. If you don't know what that is, I want you to head over to jialong.co/unrealistic. I am hosting a 2-day in-person and live online workshop all around the theme Unrealistic, and we're bringing in speakers from all over the place, all over the world, actually. We're going to be in a room. We have limited 200 tickets for in-person. So if that sounds like something you want to come into a room with me, have a listen, you know, meet all the other attendees and everything, then I would love for you to be there. We made this workshop as affordable as we can as well. But if you're like kind of like me and you like to be a little bit more of an introvert and watch a lot of this stuff online, then I suggest getting yourself a ticket, an online ticket, maybe even a VIP online ticket, so you can get in on the action. You can chat to the audience that's there, to the speakers, and to all the other VIP people that are there as well, which would be really cool. So it means no matter where you are in the world and no matter what you are doing, you can tune in to this 2 days of massive education and self-development and us looking towards an unrealistic life and how can we live a bigger and more fulfilled life, which is so cool. So head over to jialong.co/unrealistic, get yourself a ticket, share it along, help everybody out by making this the biggest event of the year. And I know it's going to be. Now let's get into today's episode. Nathan, welcome to the show. Finally got you here. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here as well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, I actually, before we dive in, we're going to talk a lot about personal branding. And I know that you are an expert around that. You've built an amazing personal brand, and there's probably a lot that you can share on that. But before we dive into that, I'd love to know a little bit about who you are, what got you to this point right now, because you will be talking at the Unrealistic Workshop in Los Angeles in a little while. So a lot of the times when we get on stage and, you know, we talk and interact with everybody, we don't get that time to sort of digress and just share a little bit of who we actually are and stuff like that. So this is the perfect opportunity. So take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Nate. For anybody listening, you can call me Nate. You can call me Nathan, whichever one you like. And I am from the USA. I'm located in the state of Michigan. So that's like the little mitten state of the US. It's kind of like the best way to describe it. So yeah, I've been living there for a lot of my life. I definitely moved to Pennsylvania for a little while for school, university, and then moved to DC for a while, but then wound back up in Michigan. And yeah, I'm a photographer, mainly focused with couples and weddings. I love doing that. I'm also a photography coach for other photographers as well. Course creator, podcaster, a lot of those things are definitely more new for me, but yeah, I absolutely love it. I'm married to my wife, Kayla. And yeah, like we just love all these things that I'm doing, and it's very aligned for us as well. That's a little bit about me, a little elevator pitch there.
Well, how long? So is photography your first business, or did you do something before that?
So it's definitely my first business. However, there's many a backstory, because when I first got into the professional world, you know, I had gone through 4 years of collegiate level education and gotten a business degree and went through all of that, and then thought I was going to kind of go through the corporate system, climb the corporate ladder, all that stuff. And my life kind of took a turn when I had moved to Washington, D.C., worked for a political ad agency. So it was during the year 2016, which was the year that Trump and Clinton were running against each other, which was very polarizing. And so I remember during that year, I was working in DC in politics, and I just noticed like I absolutely hated it. And then I didn't only hate politics itself, because like I'm probably one of the least likely people to talk politically to you these days. Like I don't listen to the news. I don't care. And yet I was so engrossed in it back then. But that's probably part of the reason why I don't like it anymore. And then even now, like, well, after that, I also noticed that I didn't like the corporate space. I didn't like having someone else basically dictate to me what my ceiling was, what my potential was. And all you could do is just get a job in which someone basically dictated to you what your income is and how far you can climb in their business and all these things. And I just didn't want that. That just wasn't for me. And so I remember photography was always like a knack that I had. And so I remember being like, all right, I don't know what I want to do yet, but I know I can pick up a camera, take photos of people. And at that time, I had seen some people kind of do it in my hometown and make a business of it. And I was like, I can do this. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm just going to try it. So I moved back home, and I did get a job as a graphic designer for about a year or two. And so that kind of, you know, paid my bills for a while. But then soon after, I was able to make it in photography. And yeah, the rest is kind of history.
That's awesome. So your business degree definitely helped you with this new career?
You know, I gotta say it did not. if you know me at all, I'm actually not a big fan of collegiate level education. I, of course, there are certain roles that you, in a sense, need a standardized education for. Whether I always say, like, if you're working on our bodies or airplanes, please go to school, you know? But I find that if you're going to get into something like business, or my degree personally was marketing, I was not helped by school. And maybe that's just my experience, but that's my experience. I've learned more from reading marketing books than I have being in 4 years at a top-ranked college in the US. So it's like, you know, like I just find that, and even, I mean, I remember there was a whole degree, a whole major at my school for entrepreneurship, which I always just thought was hilarious, because I'm like, why are you here? Like, why aren't you out there actually doing the thing that you want to do? So yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of school, but I'm a big fan of education. It's just, I don't think that the college system serves a lot of kids anymore in the way that maybe it used to.
Totally. You know, one thing that I've noticed throughout my life, because I've been in business for 16 years now, I've had a lot of friends that majored in marketing, or they did business and things like that. And what I've noticed is, as an entrepreneur myself, I'm usually out there like trialing new things, which you would be doing, trying new marketing strategies, working out what works. And then I notice it filters down to their degree maybe 4 or 5 years later. And by that stage, it's oversaturated, it's systemized, it doesn't really work anymore. So they'll tell me what they're learning. And I'm like, man, we trailblazed that 5 years ago. It's actually irrelevant now. You know, exactly. It doesn't make any sense. So it's funny how, yeah, like a lot of people don't realize, like, all the marketing that you see out in the world when people are teaching you how to do pay-per-click, or how to, you know, the conversions, like whatever it is, it all comes from the entrepreneurs trying something first and then getting success with it. And then it's becoming the norm and then taught at schools.
Absolutely. I mean, even something as simple as like a year ago, we did things different. 2 years ago, we did things more different. And so if these people that are basically these professors in school that are teaching you marketing, and frankly, they probably haven't touched anything in the real world of marketing for maybe the last decade, it's almost irrelevant to be taught by those individuals in so many senses. And so again, nothing against these people, like, you know, lovely people, but I don't think the system is actually serving so many young people these days.
Well, it's good now that so many people have access to people like yourself and like myself and other people that are out there in the trenches doing the work, because mm-hmm. you can go to college and you can learn the foundations and then you can learn the new strategies from, you know, people like us, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Which people totally probably agree. Didn't have 10 years ago, you know.
Totally. And I love that the education system is changing in that way. I think it's almost like, it's like there's this broken system that, I mean, I'm not going to say like it never served people, because I'm sure back in the day, maybe with our parents' era, it was kind of one of the only means of acquiring certain levels of education, because they didn't have things like the internet. They didn't have things like digital connection. But now that we have these things, you really don't have to follow that model anymore. And so there's so much more scope to explore and discover, because you have so many different resources and people and intelligent minds just at your disposal.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I was actually listening to a podcast today and they were talking about like between 1940 and 1980, it was you were worth more money and you could charge more in your business if you had more degrees and you spent more time at university. And now it's like fully flipped on its head, because people realize it's got nothing to do with you on how much you can charge. It's to do with the perceived value that your client sees and how much you can serve them. And so we get so caught up in our own insecurities and what we should be charging. But like what we charge is nothing to do with us, nothing to do with our education, nothing to do with our experience, nothing to do with how long we've been in the game or anything else. It's to do with our clients, which, you know, I believe in that 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact of the matter is, if it doesn't mean anything to them, even if it's maybe, you know, you have some certification or you have some level of experience, if you can't communicate that value, it's really kind of worthless in the end. Yeah. If you can't sell it, it's not worth anything.
Hey, so let's sort of change gears a little bit and talk about personal branding. And I find this really interesting that you have chosen this as a topic, and I feel like I know why. It's like hearing your background, you did business. And then you went into the corporate ladder. And so correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like personal branding isn't really a big part of all of that. And so it's probably something that you've worked it out. It's like, oh my God, this is the magic sauce that I didn't learn at university and everything else, but this is actually what changed the game for me. So is that kind of correct on thinking that?
Oh, absolutely. And there's so many things that I would say I had, in a sense, baggage from these experience, whether it was like, you know, being in the corporate space or being in collegiate level education, where you as a person were ultimately sized up by your skill set on a piece of paper. You were also and I'm talking about maybe like a resume. You were also sized up by a grade point average, your GPA. So your size, you as a person, like the human that God created you to be, is truly sized up by just like these things that ultimately cannot encapsulate a person's potential. And so in so many senses, I was never like an incredible student, just honestly speaking. Like I was like a solid, I'm trying to think, like maybe like 3.4, 3.5 student. Like I was never like the 4.0 student. And even when I got into the corporate space, like I was like, this is so hard for me to describe my worth to a potential employer, because I can't, you know, I'm just somebody on paper. I'm just someone on a resume or like this cover letter or whatever the way that people get jobs nowadays. And for me, that kind of led me to believing that like me as a person maybe wasn't enough. And so then when it came into the entrepreneurship space, I think a little bit of that bled into how I started my entrepreneurial journey. And I'll be honest, like my first year or so into being a photographer, it was rough. Like it was not like, oh, me just doing everything correctly and me knowing exactly how to do everything. Absolutely not. And so what happened, I think what really clicked for me was when I finally started accepting just who I was. And like, this sounds weird, but almost like stepping into my power as a person and stepping into who I am and being okay if someone didn't resonate with what I had to say or the way that I said it or the way that I moved my face in a video or the way that I spoke or the way that, you know, whatever it is, like my humor, like my, I don't know, like my form of communication. And just being okay with the fact that some people aren't going to connect with that, but other people are going to connect with that. And in a sense, to the degree that you can make certain people dislike you is often also to the degree that other people will be passionately liking or loving of you. And so I think once I figured those things out, that's when I was really able to step into who I was as a personal brand and actually go somewhere with it. And that I would definitely attribute a lot of that to the way that things changed for me in my photography business and just my overall brand, taking kind of like getting rid of the things that maybe I was taught subliminally by a previous system that kind of failed me. And then being like, hey, like I have to step into something completely different because photography is a personal brand. Like, I'm sorry, but if people don't understand that, the quicker you can understand that you will be probably the person, like if you're a wedding photographer, you will be the person that you will be spending most time with. They will be the couple that's getting married will spend the most time with you throughout their wedding day, more than even probably their, you know, their maid of honor, you know, whoever it is that is like their right-hand man or woman. Like, you're there all the time during their wedding day. And they are putting these personal moments in front of your camera, maybe 2 feet away from you. And they are working with you throughout the planning process. And so the minute you realize that this is a very highly personal thing to be experiencing with my couples, they're experiencing not just my work, not just my pretty photos, but me. And so the quicker I figured that out, I think the quicker things clicked. And I was like, I have to press into me, because that's the one thing no one else can compete with me on is being myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And can, like, just like, I see that you came to this epiphany and you said the quicker that you can figure it out, have you got any practical steps that you took to figure that out? Or if you're feeling like a little bit lost right now and you're trying to work out your own personal brand?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think maybe one of the first steps is to ask yourself, honestly, if you think you have a personal brand or not. And because there's so many people that I think they are under the impression that maybe they do have a personal brand. But if they were to ask themselves, honestly, do I have a personal brand? And then even ask other people, do I have a personal brand? They would be surprised to hear that maybe they don't really have a personal brand. And here's maybe one of the best ways to test this. This is like a little thing that I often tell people to do. I say, why don't you like ask other people if when they hear your brand name, do they think of your work, like your photos, like the product that you deliver, or do they think of you as a person? And just like you as a person come with a certain level of quality and experience. Because I think if people simply think of you and book you based on this person has beautiful images, your personal brand is lacking. If people are communicating to you, whether it's friends, family, or simply putting in your inquiry form what stood out to you about me, and they say, we really connected with you as a person, we find that we've looked at other photographers, but we keep coming back to the fact that we're so comfortable with the way you make us feel and the way that you speak. And that's why we're reaching out. That's a clear indicator that you have a personal brand, because people are attaching themselves, they're attaching your value to you as the person rather than to the thing that you sell. Does that kind of make sense? Like, that's maybe one of the first steps I'd take.
So if somebody doesn't value themselves, does that mean their personal brand is going to be worth less?
You're saying if someone, maybe like their friends, family, clients don't say that they are reaching out or that they value them as a person?
Yeah, maybe more so like, you know, so as creative entrepreneurs, sometimes we get in our own head that we're not worthy enough and we're not good enough and we don't show up and we don't do this and that. And then like, if that's the case, like, are we worth less in the marketplace because it's not good enough just for our work to stand out and be the voice for us, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say to each their own. If someone thinks that maybe it's kind of like knocking themselves down to attach a lot of their value to themselves, you know, that's kind of something you got to deal with on your own. But I would say, you know, when I have a client that reaches out and they say, we connected with you and we will be willing to change our date because of you, that to me is more meaningful and to me sets up the entire client experience so much better than if they just say they are reaching out maybe just for my photos, for kind of like this inanimate object. Because here's the thing is, like, when you actually maybe deliver your gallery, you deliver whatever product it is, if there isn't trust there, and if they didn't value you as the person and the professional and the expert, then if you slip up any part on in terms of like your product, like maybe the photos, like there was like a slightly decreased level of quality from a different gallery that you had produced for a completely different couple in a completely different venue, they might, you know, be a little frustrated and call you out for that. Whereas I do think that's a lot less likely to happen if they attach the primary value on you and they trust you as the human and the person, rather than just booking you for your just for your work. And the other thing I would also say is, you know, like, I've just come to the conclusion, and I've noticed this a lot, is that I think we all want to think that the best, like objectively the best product wins in the market and the best art wins in the market. And I would have to completely disagree with that. I know people who are very new to the industry and they aren't like the most, I'd say, like credible, or they're not the most expert on their use of a camera or just their way in Lightroom, or maybe they don't even have as artistically elegant photos. And a lot of those people, they don't have clients. They somehow can't get clients and they don't have marketing, and you know, they're struggling to pay their bills. I think I said this backwards. The people that basically don't have the perfect product oftentimes are able to get clients, but then the people that have the incredible art sometimes struggle to get clients. So I guess I would say a lot of that comes down to the personal branding aspect of, are you, again, attaching your worth to your person so that even if your work isn't perfect, you can still crush it in business, right? Is this kind of making sense?
Yeah. Can I just give a little analogy just so we don't pigeonhole ourselves into wedding photographers? So just to all creative entrepreneurs out there, there's a few different ways, like no matter what industry and niche you're in. But one way that I like to talk about this is, if you're a musician and you love, well, let's just say you love your favorite musician, right? The favorite musician probably plays three chords. They get up on stage, maybe they make a few stuff ups. You don't really care because you're in love with the person. You love their style. You love their vibe, everything else. But they might not be the most talented musician in the world. And the most talented musician, maybe they went to university, they did 8 years, they learned how to read music, they know all the scales, and then they played the perfect thing in their room, but they'll never get the attention because people don't connect with them on that kind of deeper level. So talking about personal brand, it's literally the same as, like, if I like Jack White, for instance, and he plays blues and he's on stage and he's out of key and the drums are out of time and like, you know, shit's happening and he's dressed cool. I'm there to see Jack White. I'm not there for the most perfect music in the world. And if he stuffs up on stage, I love it even more because I'm like, he's real, he's human, and I connect with him. So I think that's
absolutely.
It's a good analogy to sort of put across, like, no matter if you're a designer listening right now, if you're a family photographer, like whatever it is, you can see this same, the same principles in whatever niche you're in, and it all works the same.
Oh, absolutely. I love that analogy. Even with musicians, I think watching, for me, actually, I've always kind of had this knack for watching the music industry to kind of get some just like business savvy, like knowledge, because I think the music industry can parallel a lot of other creative industries. And you, I mean, I'm not going to name any names. You can just think of them on your own, but like most of the biggest musicians I think in the world are those that they don't have the best vocal cords and best vocal, you know, runs and all this kind of stuff. But the best musicians who are packing out those stadiums, they connect really well as a person, as a human, to their audience. And that is why they're at the place that they are.
What do you think connects us to those people?
So many things. I think, good grief. I feel like one of the biggest things is probably, and this is like a buzzword and I don't know how to even fully describe it, but a level of authenticity and a level of, like you said, showing the human and showing the real and, you know, being open enough to be relatable, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I think when we try to hide and we try to kind of masquerade around with this ideal version of ourselves that we hope people think of us as, that's when the disconnect happens, because it's really sourcing from like this idealistic place. You're not sourcing from an authentic human place. So I think, to me, that's one of the biggest things that really connects people. Like, even I know for me, when it comes to educators, when it comes to people where I hear their story and they inspire me, whether it's in business or otherwise, when I hear someone speak to the tune of their failures and the way that they screwed something up once or just screwed something up, that's when I connect really deeply, because I'm like, oh, now we're talking real now. You know what I mean? We're not just...
It's not a show anymore.
No, it's not a show. And so to me, I think that's one of the biggest things is like, show the real, show who you really are. And don't be so afraid that the minute you show something, people are going to have this negative perception of you. Quite frankly, I struggle when people never show anything real and when they don't ever give me any reason to potentially...
No substance.
Yeah, exactly. No substance. Like if I've never seen someone share something a little risky and share something a little vulnerable, I can't connect. I just struggle. It's not that I have anything against them. It's just like the human in me struggles to actually connect with them.
Would you say storytelling is one of the most important things in this aspect?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, of course. I think especially as somebody in the education space. I mean, you know, honestly, even beyond, even just like as a photographer, but I think storytelling is one of those things that, you know, it's funny. I just got done with a bunch of coaching calls with my students today. And one of the things I have them do to kind of figure out their personal brand is like, figure out what your story is and then figure out what your ideal client's story is and then see where they can kind of overlap. Because if you can share a little bit about your story, then they might feel very connected with you. So like for me, like if I'm sharing something about me and my wife and how we got married 2 years ago and like the things that we've gone through, whether it was like in dating or whether it was like an early marriage or just like our values or whatever that is, that's oftentimes when I will get like a spike in inquiries and people will be like, hey, we just really connected with what you said about your relationship with your wife. Like that really resonated with us. And like, we feel like we have a lot of the similar parts of that story. And so that's why we're reaching out and we just feel connected with that, you know? So storytelling is massive, very, very powerful.
It is. And like, essentially what you're saying there, it's like, you can share stories that you know is going to bridge the gap between where you are and where I am. And so we find common ground. And so then we understand each other. And like, this is something that I would do a lot. Like, I know, okay, going back to the analogy of like wedding photographers, when I first started in the first few years back in 2012, 2013, people would say like, I find it really hard to get the groom across the line, because they'd just sit there with their arms crossed and they wouldn't be interested. And as always, you know, the other party that was like organizing the whole thing. And I was like, well, here's where it's your fault, because what you need to do is you need to include that person. And when you include that person, share some common grounds with that person, and then they get excited as their partner about what's happening, then you're going to seal the deal. Because now if they're both on board, there's no way you can't not book them. And so straight away, you know, I'd have one party and they'll be telling me, we're going to do this, we're going to have florals, we're going to have that. And then I would shift the conversation. I'm like, yeah, but what do you want? And then, what did you do on the weekend? And then they would tell me like, Jai, I actually went and played golf. It was pretty fun. Did you? Oh, okay. And then I would start talking about how I played golf once and I sucked, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. And then at the end of it, it was like, oh my God, like no one else talked to me because they were scared of me. And you talked to me and now there's a connection. And now they're sitting there going to their wife, please, can we book Jai? You know,
oh, so absolutely.
Yeah. And it's just such a different game changer. Or another example is people would always come in and go, Jai, I don't know how you're going to handle this, but my mother-in-law is coming in. Good luck with this, trying to get her over the line. And I'd always say like, that's perfect, because I know I can sell to the mother-in-law. I just got to share her into a few stories. I got to bring her into the conversation. I've got to make her feel included. I've got to be inclusive like that. I've got to make her feel valued. And then if I sell her on me, the rest is easy.
Oh, absolutely. I love that. It's funny because I, you know, a lot of times I hear, whether it's like in reels that I see or whatever it is, I feel like a lot of times people can poo-poo on like, you know, the guy, or not necessarily just the guy, but like whoever it is, maybe part of the couple who doesn't want to be there on the shoot and just doesn't have like an interest highly in photos. And what I found is so funny is like, knowing that, I always try to make extra effort with like the person that doesn't really want to be there and to, like you said, just include them. And then what's really funny is I'll get these texts back from like, it's usually the girl and she'll, depending on like the couple, and she'll be like, wow, like that was such an incredible experience. And he never thought he would like a photo shoot, but he loved it. And he can't wait until like the next time we shoot with you. And, you know, this has completely changed the idea of photography for him, you know? And so it's like exactly that situation of like, if you can include people and if you can make people feel seen and heard, like get over yourself. Like you're there to make them feel included. Like they're paying you. Like you, exactly. You shouldn't be blaming them for, yeah, exactly. You shouldn't be blaming them for, you know, how they're making you feel.
Hey, so just like shifting gears, I know you're talking about authenticity, and this is something that I never hear anyone talk about when it comes to personal branding. I think too often we have so many roadblocks because we believe we have to be our true selves, as in like we got to show up with pimples on our face and we got to show up in a certain way and, you know, strip everything back. But authenticity to me means being the true person you want to be. And so for an example, for example, if I see Michael Jackson on stage and he's all dressed up and he's dancing and, you know, he's completely different to when he's at home eating cereal, I wouldn't say he's not authentically himself. In fact, I'd say he's more authentically himself because he wants to be an entertainer, right? Or if you see someone else, another example, music's always the easiest, but maybe it's Eminem, for instance. Like just because he shows up and he's a thug and he's on stage and he's dressed the way he's dressed or something, he's entertaining, he's authentically being the person he wants to be, even though that's his alter ego. He doesn't necessarily have to be authentically exactly who he is, which makes him authentic. So I think so often, like we get so caught up in thinking that we have to be our true selves. And I'm like, well, what's special about me? I don't even know what it is. Or does that mean I don't have to wear makeup? Or does that mean I have to be just, you know, blue jeans, white shirt and whatever it is? But really, like, what are your thoughts on creating a personal brand and actually like crafting the personal brand?
I absolutely love this topic because I do feel like a lot of people don't want to recognize this aspect of authenticity. And I, in a sense, feel like some people listening to this might start to be like, well, red flag on what we're saying here, because I completely agree with what you're saying and the sentiment here. And something that I always try to think about is there's two different sides of things in a sense. There's kind of like, there's my personality traits and then there's my character traits. And so there's personality traits are kind of things that like are a little bit more fixed. And it's just kind of like the way that I was created, and I'm not going to be like ultimately able to change them. And so to hide those things is just probably doing me a disservice. And so in that sense, hey, show the real you. But then I think there's character traits, and it's like, hey, these are things that I want people to know and think and feel about me as a person. And that, even though it's certain things that almost are changed about my natural, like raw self, they're not raw, but they're still real. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like the raw me unfiltered, but it's still like 100% me and who I want to be, even in the sense of, you know, like so many people think that they'll talk to me and they're like, oh, like you're such an extrovert. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm an introvert. And every personal, like human test, personality test, there we go, I test as an introvert, not by a ton, but I do test as an introvert. Like I energize most often by myself, just, you know, but the thing is I verb extrovert myself when I need to extrovert myself. And when I believe that that's something that is going to propel myself forward as a person in humanity and society as my business, you know, and that's still me. That's still the real me. It doesn't make me any less me. That's kind of like saying I'm going to show up to a wedding in my pajamas because that's the real me. No, you're not. You're going to dress nice. You're going to look your best. You're going to try to, you know, make friends with Uncle Joe, even though he's kind of awkward. And that's not the raw you. But we don't, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to get over almost the pride of thinking that you can't change anything about yourself in order to be authentic. You can change certain things about yourself and still be authentic. You're just simply putting your best foot forward. I mean, that's even why we read self-help and self-development books, to be the best version that we can be. So yeah, I love that you mentioned that. It's such a key point.
Yeah, I really do think it's a key point, because I think social media really, like, you know, we hold ourselves back so often and we don't realize there's another option. And we don't realize, like, here's the thing. It's like we can play with it so much, you know? And just mm-hmm. because, for instance, if you were like, you could never say someone that's a drag queen is not authentically being themselves because they dress up as how they want to be perceived and how they want to be seen, right? They're actually being authentically themselves because that's how they want to feel. That's how they want to be seen. You know, out in the world. And so when you actually lift up the restrictions of quote unquote, which was trendy for the last 5 years, is like, be completely authentic yourself and don't change anything about yourself. Now it's like, well, there's freedom to be the person you want to be and then be creative with the brand that you're creating. It doesn't just have to be, my name is Jai Long, I wear a white t-shirt and, you know, I have a normal haircut and I do this and I do that. It's like, why not be happy and fulfilled with creating a brand, just like a business creates a brand for their business, but for yourself. And I think that's just like such a magical place to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's like, just be who you want to be. And honestly, I think in so many ways, we think that we have to be this watered down version of ourselves in order for people to like us. And it's like that balance between, you know, you have to be, again, quote unquote, real, but you also want to make sure that you are like an optimized version of yourself, if that makes any sense. And then you also don't make yourself optimized in the sense where you feel like your own self isn't good enough. So it's like this weird balance, and it's like this self-discovery process that I think we all go through, but I think it's fun sometimes, you know, just to kind of figure it out as you go.
I mean, it's one of the funnest things. It's like saying, I've been harping on for years and years and years, probably since 2015. It's like, you got to build yourself like a personal brand. It's what it's all about. You know, it's not about hiding behind anything. And then the way that we do that is we connect on a deeper level and we show our face and we do everything else, which is like, it's so different to what business was 10 years ago or 20 years ago right now. So just like moving forward a little bit, what are some practical steps for us to actually show up and show our brand, not just our products?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of this really starts with how you treat people, and it's going to come down to being in person. You know, when you're in person with people, especially when you're in the context of your business, I think that's where you want to be most aware of just like how your personal brand is coming across, how it delivers value to people, how it shows up. Because I think in so many senses, people are going to see you in these contexts. Like I even think exhibit A is when, let's say you're a photographer and you're shooting a wedding and you come into contact with family and friends, and you come into contact with people in the bridal party, and all these different faces and people that maybe say hi to you or people that you could say hi to. And so in so many circumstances, you have an opportunity to build a certain brand, and people are either going to say, you know, not good things about you at the end of the day, or they're going to say nothing about you because maybe you just weren't very, you didn't interject, nothing was really remarkable. Or they're going to be like, wow, that was an incredible photographer. Like, did you see what they did? Like, people can't stop talking about you because just the way that you treated everybody, you know, you shook people's hands, you totally gave people hugs, you know, like you were even saying goodbye and thank you to like the parents when, you know, you didn't even have to do that, you know, making such a lasting impression on people so that they now know you. And they're just excited to have worked with you, and they haven't even seen the photos yet. Like it's like they're not even going to know exactly what the photos look like for maybe a couple hours, but they're already on this high about you as a person. I think another obvious place that we have in 2023 is social media. Like, what an incredible place where you can share about who you are. So many people talk about you know, like how hard it is to show up on their, with their face and show up in video. And I'm over here just like, this is just an awesome opportunity where I can actually get my personal brand out in front of people like I've never been able to before. You know, we hid behind posting photos for so long, and now we're able to actually show up in video. Like, what an incredible, awesome opportunity. I mean, that's frankly probably the one of the most primary ways I built my brand was through video, because it's so human and I can actually connect with people face to face. They know how my face moves. They know how my voice sounds. They know like my mannerisms, like what I wear, like, you know what I mean? All that kind of stuff. And it just builds people's perception. It builds people's understanding of you as the person behind these, this account, behind this brand, without just being like, oh, hey, here's another pretty photo that everyone else posted. And, you know, here's like my prices that, you know, everyone else can post their prices too. And here's just a headshot of me. And we, you know what I mean? But like, if you can show up maybe in video, that's an awesome opportunity. So yeah, I'd say those are probably the main places I'd say is like in person. And on social media are like incredible, incredible places where you can really showcase your personality and especially get your face on video. I think that's an incredible tool to build your personal brand.
Love that. Could I share one as well?
Totally.
Well, just thinking about social media, what a lot of people don't realize is like if you're a personal brand, it means how you show up on social media, there's a digital footprint and it's there forever. And it's not just how we show up like at work or on our own Instagram account or something. It's how we show up in Facebook groups, the stuff that we post, the stuff that we share. And so often, like, especially as you like progress through your career, like I've worked with a lot of like a lot of educators in my space, in my industry, you know, for the Wedding Photography Summit and things like that. And you can so often like dig into people and you can find like transphobic comments, racist comments from 2013 on Facebook. You can find so many things that people like, because the digital footprint never leaves. And then the people that read that stuff never forget. And it all builds a picture of your brand to the viewers and to the people in that group and to the friends around you and to the people that used to know you and your coworkers and things like that. So often I see inside groups, like people complaining about stuff, people bringing people down, people being sexist, racist, like whatever it is. And it's like, you know, the damage that you're doing to yourself, because you are right now creating an amazing picture of your brand to everybody, because everybody has a personal brand. Doesn't matter if you work in corporate with somebody else and you're saying this stuff and it's on LinkedIn or like wherever it is, it's like the chances of you getting hired or the chances of whatever it is, it does paint that picture. You're going to attract those same people into your world. So yeah, I do believe like if you are on social media and you're not bringing value to people or you're not putting yourself forward the way that you want to be seen, it's not just a passing comment. It's something that people remember forever. And I literally have so many people that have contacted me, Joe, I'd love to be on your podcast and stuff. And I remember like something, you know, how they brought someone down. I remember this one guy, he got into a Facebook group and he was saying to this girl that she shouldn't be charging that much because she's female and like she has no right to do it. And this was like maybe 5 years ago. And I remember that thread and everybody sort of going backwards and forwards. And then by the time he reached out to me, he's like, I'd love to be on your podcast. I could bring some value. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. You're just not the right fit, to be honest. And he doesn't know why, because I'm like, you've created a brand and I know what your brand is. And there's no way I'll refer your work. There's no way I'd have you in my ecosystem, you know, like, and so on and so forth. So I think just being mindful of that stuff of our personal brand is really important as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, even there's a very specific one where, you know, I talk about video, but video definitely, to the extent that it has potential for good, it also has a lot of potential to harm your brand. And so I find that especially in the digital entrepreneurship space, I see so many people, and I think I've seen you share about this as well, just tearing their clients down.
Oh, and, yeah, that's you a know, huge one.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? Like, you're basically, and you'll get people to like it. Some of your friends and your followers, they'll like that post. It might even go viral. But you would be better off if it didn't, quite honestly. And it's really funny because I love the funny reels. Like that's something I love to do. I love humor and kind of making people laugh. But there's so many times where I'm like, hey, I have a reel. It'd be funny. It'd probably go viral. But I'm not sharing this because there's the potential that this could make someone think, oh, he's talking about me. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, I don't want that. Like I don't even want to risk it. Listen, I don't want that like I don't want that energy just like around what people think about me. And so I'm like, nope, not worth it.
And that's the amazing thing. Like, if talking about personal brand, it's a lot of the times it's out of our control because it's us showing up over and over and over, all these micro interactions. It's like watching a reel of someone slagging their clients or saying how they're unhappy with clients that don't pay or unhappy with clients that do this, or, you know, like who's else has got people that stand in the way at a wedding? Like even stuff like that. It's like people getting their phones out at weddings. You know, like I see that and yeah. I'm like, man, people see you as being an asshole because you've got to remember that everyone at their wedding that has their phone out is your client's best friends, their family, their loved ones. And you are publicly shaming all those people. And for why? You know, right. So it makes no sense. And so often I'm like, that's your brand now. You're creating that around your brand. And then people are going to be thinking about that when they hire you, like, ooh, hopefully our friends and family don't get in the way of the photographer with their phones and stuff, you know? And so it's so interesting. Yeah.
I think even like, I actually just not only hate it for the person who's posting it, but I also just hate it for the industry as a whole, because I find that sometimes when I go and talk with clients or when I'm with clients or whatever it is, I feel like sometimes they're apologetic to me because like they scared, saw someone. They saw someone else who was a photographer talk about how hard their job was and how bad their clients were. And I'm just like, you're fine. Like, don't believe that that's like the perception of, you know, whatever. Like, just, you can ask me whatever. Like, we can do something. We can experiment. Like, I'm not this touchy porcupine person that if you piss me off, like, you know what I mean? I'm not like that. So it just brings the whole industry down when people do that.
Yeah. And I've always even said, like, when people come up to me like, oh, we're going to have an unplugged wedding. And I'm like, I'd rather if you didn't, because you know what, actually, and I say this to my clients, the best photo you're going to get on your wedding day is the one when your mom stood up with her iPad and she took a photo on that iPad, because it means something. It's a better photo than my photo, because my photo just looks good. But the one that comes from your mom, that fucking means something, right? Yeah. And I'm going to take a photo of her taking a photo on an iPad. And in 20 years time, everyone's going to say, what the hell is that device? It creates a story. There's so much meaning in that, opposed to me having a perfectly set out, everyone's out of my way. You know, and don't allow the family to take photos. Don't allow Uncle Greg to take photos next to me. You know, there is no value in that. Of course, Uncle Greg needs to be right next to me and I need to talk to him about lenses. Of course, that's the experience I'm giving him.
Totally. And some of the people that are taking those photos on their iPhone is probably because they value the photos maybe more than anybody else at the wedding. I had this mother of the groom last year and she was like, I'll just be honest, she was kind of bossing me around the whole day and telling me like, take this photo, take this photo, take this photo. And I was just like, okay, cool. Like, whatever. And they were like a Polish family. And like, that's my background too, is like Polish people who are just a little bit more like gutsy. And I was like, it's all right. It's all right. And then at the end of the night, as I was like putting my stuff in my car, she like ran up to me and she was like, I just want to tell you, like, this was such an incredible experience with you. And like, you just did everything. I sat and ran with it. And like, every single one of my kids from here on out are booking you as their photographer. Like, it was just an incredible experience. And I'm like, well, hey, there you go. Like, I could have just totally been so mean to her all night and made a reel about her the next day, but I would have missed the opportunity.
I know. Hey, here's a little secret hack that I've used for years and years now. They always get worried about like getting out their iPhone and take photos and stuff at weddings, right? I'll take a photo and whenever I finish the photo, I'm like, all right, guys, throw us over your iPhones. And then I'll take photos with their iPhones and watch people change. Cause they're like worried, my shitty iPhone. All of a sudden they're like, oh my God, are you serious? And they're like running over, throwing me their phones. I'll take as many as they want. I'm like, click, 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 click. I'm like, man, I'm a photographer. I'm just here to take photos. Like, doesn't matter what I'm taking
photos with.
Oh, dude.
I love that.
And then from there, I book so much because everyone remembers the photographer that was so stoked and then, you know, took a couple of videos, a couple of iPhone photos, gave it back to them. They could post it straight away and then I'm on my way, you know?
And you probably took a way better photo than they were going to take. So they're like, wow, look at this awesome quality.
Yeah, they can't believe it. And then, of course, they get the professional photo a few weeks later or whatever. But I mean, to be fair, it's already, they need something instantly. Like, that's just the world. And you can't fight against the world and the way things work right now. So give it to them. You know what I mean?
That's so good. Yeah, I love that. I'm going to definitely
In fact, I've literally taken photos with my own phone. I'm like, wait a second, guys, this is a great photo. I'm going to take a photo of my phone. I'll airdrop it to you. And people lose their minds. Are you serious? And I'm like, I'm absolutely serious. Like,
I love that. That's amazing. I've never thought about doing that.
Let's quickly talk. You're coming to Los Angeles. You're going to be on stage. We're going to be at the Unrealistic Workshop. There's going to be lots of people there. How are you feeling about it? How are you feeling about getting there and talking alongside everybody and meeting lots of people?
I'm stoked. I mean, you got an incredible lineup. I'm so excited to even hear more about what's up your sleeve, but it's going to be an incredible time. And it's August, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be like, you know, for me, kind of like not the peak of my season, but in a sense, I don't know. I always feel like end of summer, I get like super businessy and excited for just like my job. I don't know. But I think it's going to be great. I know that being in person with people just makes such a difference. And you kind of just feel an energy in the room that you just can't feel it when it's virtual. And, or you can a little bit, but it's just not as good. And so I think that's probably the thing I'm most excited about is just being able to see people in person and actually you just catch the energy of a room like that. And even like the speakers that you have lined up are so exciting and people that I have just like always wanted to meet as well, including yourself. And so I think it's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
It's epic. Have you actually ever ran an in-person workshop yourself?
Absolutely not. That would be terrifying.
That's so cool.
I'd love to, but that's going to be brand new territory for me someday.
That's so cool. Well, I got to tell you, it's fucking scary. Like putting on this workshop is so scary. You got to invest so much. There's just so many moving parts, especially coming from a different country and stuff. But man, it's going to be fun to connect with you, connect with all these other educators that I've met, some of them in person, but a lot of them we're like besties, obviously online. So it's going to be amazing to be able to not only connect with them, but also just connect with all the community. The people that have like, you know, they've learned from everybody or I'm a student myself. So I'm going to be learning from all of them. I'm going to be learning from all of you guys. And like, I feel like it's such an amazing space to be in to really take my self-development to another level.
Yeah, exactly. Ditto, same thing. Like I think it's just going to be an amazing time of just kind of rubbing shoulders with people in the business and getting so much wisdom. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize too, is like the most valuable thing you get from something like this is literally not even from the speakers on the stage, but it's like talking to each other in between moments. And it's the thing, like after something like this, it's the thing that you remember forever, or you make one brand new friend, one new connection, you learn one new strategy, you get inspired by one speaker, you get to meet one of your favorite speakers or favorite educators or like whatever it is. And, you never know. It's like the butterfly effect. You never know what opportunities come from opening yourself up and getting yourself into a new room of people that are just like yourself. So I'm fucking excited about that.
Yeah, exactly. And props to you for putting this on. I mean, it's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be a whole thing to put it on. And like you said, it's
a nightmare.
Scary, but hey, that's awesome. And it's good to hear that it is still a nightmare for people like Jai Long. That makes me feel a little less bad about wanting to do it someday and thinking of it as a nightmare.
Oh, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for jumping on here and saying hi and everything. I know you got a podcast. Could you share that with us? Share maybe your Instagram account and so everyone can come and find you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me at Nathan Chansky on Instagram. I post TikTok occasionally, and then my website, nathanchansky.co. And then my podcast is called Passion with Purpose. And so that is for primarily photographers and creatives, and really, you know, just sharing a lot about my business journey and a lot about just insights. I have a ton of industry guests on there as well. It's just a great place to come hang out. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome, man. Just want to say a big thank you on behalf of myself and everybody else for being on the podcast, but also for showing up at the Unrealistic Workshop. Appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome, dude. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, Make Your Breakers. Don't you hate how you can't sort through podcasts by most listened to, most reviewed, and most loved? Right? As fellow podcast junkies, we feel you. While we can't magically change Apple or Spotify's platform, we have created a little something something. Sifting through all of Make Your Breaks episodes to date, yep, we are talking all 200 plus episodes. We've meticulously curated some banging playlists just for you. We're talking the all-time hottest hits from Make Your Break, starring the juicy inspiration, motivation, and creative biz insights you know and love. Sound good? Jump into the show notes and follow the link to generate your very own Make Your Break playlist.